The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, hello, everybody. Happy whatever day it is, Tuesday. Tuesday, the broadcast day, 3 hours of... dare I say, epic conservative conversation coming. You know, it amazes me. I don't know what it's been, the past year, 2 years now, the amount of, I wouldn't say chaos that we cause among Democrats in the country, but we like to stir stuff up. And the good news about that is you guys like to stir stuff up, too. And that means we're able to right a lot of wrongs that are out there in the country. So, I wouldn't say I'm surprised. I'm just overwhelmed by the greatness of this radio audience and the power that you, the listeners of the Todd Starnes radio program, wield around the nation. So, we got a lot to talk about today, and I want to throw out an idea, a thought, if you will. So on December 3rd, Congress will decide whether or not to shut down the government. And I think that this is the line in the sand for the Republicans. These mandates, and again, let me back up just a moment. More mandates are coming. We know that. We know, contrary to what Joe Biden and what Furor Fauci have to say, we know that more shutdowns are coming. We know more mandates are coming. We know that it's only a matter of time before the government decides, all right, you folks in Kalamazoo, if you want to fly over to, let's say, Waterloo, Iowa, you're in Kalamazoo, you want to fly to Waterloo, you're going to have to show your vaccine papers to get on board the jetliner. We know that. That is coming. That day is coming. And we also know, I want to de-escalate the amount of fear that may be out there, because many of you, unfortunately, have bought into the China virus scare. Is there a virus? Yes, there's a virus. Is it as bad as the government's been telling us? Well, that is open for debate. And the facts, the information we have been able to see and the information I've been able to glean is that it's not as bad as they're telling us, that there's something else going on. So what is going on? Well, I believe that when you look at the big picture here, this is all about preparing us for socialism. This is all about ushering in and preparing the population for socialism. You know, Grace Baker, one of my favorite dishes to make. I'm not a very good cook, not a good chef, but one of the things I love to make is something called a mayo chicken.
A mayo chicken.
Mayo chicken.
So you don't need your wooden cutting board for that.
That was a low blow.
It was just that, laying there.
That was a low blow. So what you do? It's great. You just take your you take a cup of your Duke's mayonnaise. Or Hellman's or Blue Plate, whatever suits your fancy. You put in some Parmesan cheese. You kind of smear that over the chicken. Then you put the breadcrumbs in 25 minutes later in the oven, and you got a meal.
That sounds very easy.
Before you do that, though, you have to do something to the chicken, because otherwise it's going to take forever to cook.
Okay.
You got to get your little mallet, your meat mallet, and you got to pound the meat until it's ready to go into the oven. And that's the same thing that's happening with the American people. They're pounding you over the head with that meat mallet, with these mandates. They're preparing you for what's to come in this country. Okay, maybe that was a terrible example, but you get the point. It's not just boom overnight, we're socialist. They have to prepare you. It is a process, if you will. And all I can say is, thank goodness for people like Ron DeSantis. And I'm getting to, hang tight. I know we're on a tangent here, and I'm going to get back to the thought. But thank goodness for people like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who said, you know what? They're going to try this again, but we're not going to allow them to succeed here. Cut number three.
These travel restrictions. I was probably the first governor in January of 2020 to call for travel restrictions from China. I supported President Trump when he did that. But we have to take a step back and acknowledge that those travel restrictions just didn't work. The virus had already spread. And so whatever this variant is, the fact that you identify some in southern Africa, that does not mean that it's not in any corner of the globe. It's an airborne respiratory virus. So I think those restrictions are not going to work. They haven't worked in the past. And clearly, to even be entertaining the idea of doing destructive, disastrous policies like lockdowns, I mean, honestly, I'm not surprised because I think some people are just wired for this. But it is not going to happen in the state of Florida. You can take that to the bank.
Now, the question is it going to happen in any other Republican states? That's the broader question. So if you're in Florida, you are in free America. DeSantis is going to protect you. The question is, what about all of you other Republican governors out there? Will they follow the DeSantis line here? But beyond that, I think that the Republicans up on Capitol Hill, they got to draw the line in the sand. And here it is. You either end the mandates or we will shut down the government. No funding for the government. Either end all mandates or we're not going to fund the government. That is the line in the sand. Now, will the Republicans have the courage to stand up to this? I don't know. But they need to at least give it a try. That's what needs to happen. But I don't care. I don't care what Biden is saying. We know at the end of the day what they're going to do, and they're going to shut us all down. Now, our friends over at Fox News, Laura Logan and Tucker Carlson, are in a they're in a bit of hot water. People are trying to shut them down, and why are they trying to do that? Because they nailed it. They called out Furor Fauci for who he really is. Cut number 11.
What you see on Dr. Fauci, this is what people say to me, that he doesn't represent science to them. He represents Joseph Mengele, Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor who did experiments on Jews during the Second World War and in the camps. And I am talking about people all across the world are saying this because the response from COVID, what it has done to countries everywhere, what it has done to civil liberties, the suicide rates, the poverty, it has obliterated economies, the level of suffering that has been created because of this disease is now being seen in the cold light of day, i.e. the truth. And people see that there's no justification for what is being done.
So she's catching fire, but she's right. This is a very proper comparison. She compared Dr. Fauci to Joseph Mengele. Now, who is he? He was the angel of death. He was one of the top Nazi doctors who was going around experimenting and conducting horrible experiments. Well, what do you think's happened here in the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, really? They didn't have 2 or 3 years to conduct experiments to see what kind of an impact the China virus vaccine would have on the American people. No, they're doing that now. You are the experiment. As a matter of fact, they want to inject this stuff into babies. And then they want to hide the information. They want to hide the information for 75 years. So for 75 years, we will not have any idea of what sort of an impact this vaccine really had. Now, right now, the mainstream media is trying to convince you that all of these athletes who are in top physical condition, who are literally on the playing field grabbing their chest and dropping to the ground and all of a sudden develop heart problems. They want you to believe that is a normal occurrence. Oh, it's just a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. Something's going on here. They want you to believe that all of these teenagers, young boys out there specifically, are just keeling over from heart disease after getting the China virus vaccine. It is not normal. It is not normal. So, yes, Laura Logan here, and there is a campaign right now underway to get her removed from Fox News Channel. But the reality is, what she said was true. And I know there are people out there who can't handle the truth, but it's the truth. This is a proper comparison. We have tens of millions of people, and whether you support the vaccine or not, if you got that vaccine, you are an experimental patient. Because nobody knows what sort of long-term impact this vaccine is going to have on people. So Tucker Carlson, now you got to go back because Fauci is out there saying that he is the science. So therefore, if you speak ill of Furor Fauci, you are speaking ill of science. If you speak ill of science, you are speaking ill of Furor Fauci. And Tucker Carlson last night called him out.
If you haven't checked in on Tony Fauci lately, you may be a little surprised to discover what he's become. If you tuned in a couple of years ago, you may recall Fauci as a conventional public health official. He wore button-down shirts. He gave careful, precise answers that suggested deep medical knowledge. No more. After 2 years of nonstop media adulation, Tony Fauci has morphed into an even shorter version of Benito Mussolini. Watch Fauci on television the other day refer to himself without even flinching in the third person.
Well, there are a lot of Republican senators taking aim at this.
That's okay. I'm just going to do my job. And I'm going to be saving lives, and they're going to be lying. There's a distinct anti-science flavor to this. So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony, people could recognize there's a person there. So it's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science because I represent science.
When they criticize me, they're criticizing science. I am science, declares Tony Fauci. Science is me. So clearly something deep inside Tony Fauci has changed. The man now believes he's a deity accountable to no one.
Well, he is. He's the patron saint of Wuhan. And here you have Fauci. By the way, you know what it is? He's a little fella. He's like I wouldn't say like a little rascal, you know, that. But he's a little fella. Not a midget, but a little fella. That Fauci. It's true. I mean, so maybe he's trying to compensate for something, Furor Fauci. I don't know. So, look, we're going to take a break, opening up the phone lines this hour. What do you want to see your Republicans do on Capitol Hill? Is this the line in the sand? Because, folks, if we do not – let me explain what's going to happen here. Biden, even though – yes, I know his mind is rattled. But whoever's controlling Biden is not stupid. And they know that if they shut everything down for Christmas, there's going to be you-know-what to pay. So they're not going to do that. They're going to wait till after Christmas, and they're going to make your lives so miserable between now and after Christmas, you will be begging for a shutdown. You watch this. We've seen this play out at least three or four times over the past 2 years of the pandemic. So you watch and see how this is going to play. So is Friday the line in the sand? 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
The last time I tried looking for a funny business podcast, it put me to sleep. If you're like me, you appreciate business news and current events with a little side of comedy. Then I listened to David and Brad, the host of IP Frequently, and found exactly what I was looking for. Solid business advice that leans right, 80s music, and current events. It's the Unicorn of Business podcast, the holy grail of business podcast. Subscribe to IP Frequently and stay up to date on their weekly stream of episodes wherever you get your podcast. All right, this information from Breitbart, Christina Wong wrote this piece. Turns out the Marine Corps, the deadline has come and gone for all active duty members of the Marine Corps to be fully vaccinated. Now, this is not just one dose. This is fully vaccinated. And it's our understanding, according to Breitbart, that about 95% of the active duty forces have gotten at least one dose. So we're talking about 95% of the Marine Corps has not been fully vaccinated. 5% have not gotten any jabs. So they're talking about, so when you're, you know, talking about the numbers, we're talking about 9,000 or more active duty Marines who are not fully vaccinated as required by the Biden administration. Now, the Marine Corps warned back in October that anyone who did not comply with the mandate will be separated. And they're not going to be putting out just a mandatory, okay, everybody's gone today. This is going to be coming out in drips and drabs. By the way, people have been asking, okay, what about religious accommodations? So almost 2,500 Marines asked for a religious accommodation. And according to Breitbart, zero were approved. So the Marine Corps turned down every single religious exemption. What do you think about that, folks? 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Charles, Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Charles, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, thank you.
Great, thanks for having me on. Hey, I just wanted to weigh in on your comment about raising the debt ceiling. I just got off the phone with Senator Tom Tillis' staff and asked them his position on raising the debt limit, if he was going to vote to either extend it or raise it.
What did he say?
They put me on hold. They came back about a minute later, and the staff member said, Senator Tillis opposes raising the debt limit for increased Democratic spending, which to me, Todd, is a very evasive answer. And I told them that under no circumstances should he vote to raise that debt limit. Let the Democrats do that and tell us how they're going to pay for it. But we had plenty of revenue coming in to meet interest payments on the debt, to prioritize spending. But that if he voted to either raise or extend that, it's going to give the Democrats time to make another play. Or if it's raised, what they're going to do is just shove this massive Build Back Broke bill down our throats, and we're never going to be able to go back from it. But I also told him and let him know in no uncertain terms that it's time for him and senators like him. I know they're under enormous pressure from their corporate donors and their lobbyists, but to remember that it's people like us that vote for them and not the lobbyist, and that he needs to stand up for us. And so I think now is a good time for all of us to call up our senators in the various states between now and Saturday and just put some enormous pressure on these congressmen and senators.
Charles, I think that's a brilliant idea. And look, I mean, when you add it all up, I mean, we're talking just in the past, you know, the first year of the Biden administration, we're looking at upwards of $6 trillion in additional spending. That's what we're talking about here. $6 trillion. There's no way we can afford this. And by the way, most of the money is not going to infrastructure. Most of the money is going to those special interest groups that are supported by the Democrats. We are funding the progressive takeover of America. So, Charles, I like your idea. Appreciate the call. We've got to skedaddle for a break here. Charles is right, folks. We need to be lighting up the phones between now and Saturday up on Capitol Hill. I don't care if you have a Republican or Democrat lawmaker. Give them a call, and tell them to hold the line. And then we want you to call us, and we want to know what your lawmakers are saying. 844-747-8868. We're going right to the phones when we come back, folks. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Christmas is just around the corner, and if you are in one of the big box stores, you're not going to find MyPillow, and there's a reason why. They've been kicked out of many big box stores because of the cancel culture mob, and that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you, and that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow, normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. And MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Also, use the promo code STARNS. Merry Christmas, everybody. All right, coming up, Marjorie Taylor Greene's got to drop by. Man, she is in a fierce Twitter war with Nancy Mace out of South Carolina. And MTG also defending Alarm Boebert over the Ilhan Omar comments. You know, Boebert tried to call her up and apologize, and Ilhan Omar hung up on her. Look, folks, you can't communicate with these people. You can't debate with these people. They don't want to debate. They want to shut you down. They want you to apologize because when you do apologize, they've got you. That's what they want you to do. So now you've got Ron DeSantis out there, and God love this man. Again, he's drawing a line in the sand, and he says, "Hey, look, we're not going to be participating in any mandates or shutdowns. That's not going to happen in Florida." And then he weighed in on what's happening in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where they literally are shutting down all news coming out of that terrorist attack. And here's what DeSantis had to say about that.
Is that how it works? The SUVs, they just drive by themselves? This just kind of happened? And they say, oh, this was a big accident. You never actually hear the discussion about who committed this. What was the motivation? This guy was a career criminal, let out on, didn't really have any bail, basically, should not have even been on the street, had clear anti-white animus. And this was an intentional act. And it seems like, you know, for corporate press, they're more apt to characterize a parent who goes to a school board meeting to protest bad policies as a domestic terrorist than somebody who intentionally rams an SUV into a crowd of innocent people. So you have at least six have died. You have many more that have been injured. I know many people are in the hospital. And so let's just be clear. This was not a car just driving in. This was an attack by a felon who did that, who should not have been on the street. And we'll see what the actual motivation was. It very well may have been in response to what happened with Kyle Rittenhouse. And you have to wonder if that's the case. Almost assuredly, this guy's view of Rittenhouse was colored by all these media lies. He brought a rifle across state lines. That's a lie. They said that the initial altercation with Jacob Blake, that Blake was unarmed. That's a lie. They covered up Blake's criminal history. And then they said that Rittenhouse shot. And first of all, when you're self-defense, it doesn't matter, you know, kind of what race. But they would say that he shot. Most people didn't know that he shot three white people. People thought. So that's what the media has been doing. And they tend to point a target on law enforcement's back. But this is just wrong. And these lies have got to stop. And if it doesn't fit your narrative, sweeping the facts under the rug is not doing the service that people deserve. It is what we expect, unfortunately, from a lot of these places, but it's wrong. And I think the way they've treated law enforcement across the board over the last 2 years has been an absolute disgrace. So let's just be clear. They are not wanting to cover this Wisconsin thing for what it is. They are not wanting the facts to come out the way they are because the facts do not support their narrative. And it's all about pursuing partisan narratives.
I absolutely love this guy. Wow. These are the kinds of governors that we need in America. Republicans with a backbone, and they're not afraid to tell it like it is. God bless you, Ron DeSantis. By the way, he's right. He's the reason they're not covering Wisconsin is it does not fit their narrative. And there are two big issues here. Number one, there is a big problem in this country with black-on-white crime, and nobody is talking about that at all. Even on Fox News Channel, nobody wants to talk about that. But it's true. As a matter of fact, there's an even bigger, if you think that's a big problem, there's an even bigger problem with black-on-black crime. And you people who live in Memphis, Tennessee, you know all about that. All about that. But the second issue is why this guy was out on bail in the first place. And it's because of radical progressives who are running district attorney shops all over America. That guy should have been in jail, but he wasn't. He was allowed to. This guy's a predator, a career criminal. And he was allowed to roam the streets of Waukesha, Wisconsin. And he killed a lot of people, six people dead. Over 60 people injured, many of whom are still in the hospital. But you know what? The media, they don't care about that. They don't. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Don, Moorhead City, North Carolina. All right, Don, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Pretty much what you were discussing. The Mr. Brooks, 2 days previously to his parade episode, attempted murder. I mean, he was a criminal who had attempted a violent crime. So he shouldn't have been out. And like you're saying, the media is not putting the blame on who it needs to be, which is the DA and the court system. Number two, the SUV, if they're so hell-bent on saying the SUV killed these people, why don't they sue the SUV company like they do the gun companies? You know, was it the SUV that killed these people? Was it the gun that killed these people, or was it the person driving and the person pulling the trigger? And then finally, the vaccine. There's two ways to measure whether you have antibodies. You can say either positive or negative, which is qualitative, or you can do a quantitative and measure the amount of antibodies you have. And if you have enough antibodies in your system to mount a defense to the virus, you don't need the booster. Whether you've got the antibodies through actually having COVID, whether you've got the antibodies from getting your vaccine, but nobody gives you that option. All you have to do is ask your doctor to measure how much antibodies I have. But the government won't put that option out either.
No, they won't, Don, and they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about natural immunity. They don't want to have any kind of a conversation because ultimately they know, Don, they know that this virus is not as bad as everyone has been saying in the media. They know that. Yes, people have been dying, but the reason why is very convoluted. I mean, you've got people, and we've covered these stories, people shot, killed. The cause of death was not the gunshot wound. It was the China virus. Somebody literally got hit by a bus in Colorado. The cause of death was not blunt force trauma. It was the China virus. So my question is, how many people actually died from the virus? Early on, the numbers, Don, were about 6%. Of those deaths were attributed strictly to the China virus.
Let me tell you, as a previous medical examiner, you can fill out those death certificates any way you want to. And the states are so backlogged with reviewing those things, you could put that someone died of a fall when they actually died of something else. And there's a good chance it'll go through the system and never even get caught. So the way they're classifying the deaths, is just like, it's the same story. It's just, it's like comic books.
Don, I mean, you said you were a former medical examiner. Have you had any contact with other medical examiners? Are they talking about this?
No, nobody's talking about it. Everybody's afraid to talk about it. It's so frustrating. It's ridiculous.
Well, I remember this was been last year where a medical examiner I know in Colorado and one in Minnesota actually spoke out, and they said, hey, you know, a lot of these deaths are being attributed to the China virus when in fact that they're not. And we haven't heard hide nor hair of those folks since that. But beyond go ahead, Don.
The hospitals get reimbursed.
Well, that's
based
it.
And so it's a money game, and you have to be careful who you make mad or what enemies you develop over all this sort of stuff. But there again, it's so political now. It is no longer scientific. It may have been scientific at the beginning, but all they should have said was, we don't know about this virus. We're ignorant about it. We don't have all the answers, but yet they acted like they knew everything, and it's coming back to get them.
Could you imagine, I mean, if they treated the common cold or the sniffles the way they've been treating this virus, people would be in a panic. But I think you hit onto something here, Don. And look, overall, the overarching issue here is prepping the country for socialism. They want people to rely on the federal government for everything. But there is a huge, huge financial component here, not just for the hospitals, who get reimbursed more money if, in fact, those people are diagnosed with COVID. But also for the pharmaceutical companies. We're looking at vaccines and boosters for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, and that's big bucks. I mean, if you look at Pfizer, if you look at Moderna, if you look at Johnson & Johnson, if you look at all the companies, I mean, yeah, they're spending millions of dollars doing this, but the federal government is pretty much reimbursing them or paying for all of it. It's not like it's coming out of their pocket. And they're gonna reap royalties for years and years and years on this stuff.
No doubt about it. Don, appreciate that great call, sir. And we've got a skedaddle here, but God bless you. And that's great information that Don, a former medical examiner, brings to the table. Folks, wow, Christmas time is here. A lot of shopping already underway. And I would love for you to go right now to ToddStarnes.com. We have lots of great stuff for you there. Stocking stuffers, Christmas presents galore over at ToddStarnes.com in our store. And we would love to either sign a book for you, or we've got some great apparel and also incredible coffee mugs, ball caps, you name it, at ToddStarnes.com. And, of course, our good friend Mike Lindell, who has been just battered by the media. You know, it turned out he was right about Kyle Rittenhouse. Just think about that. He was the guy who posted the bail so that boy, that 17-year-old boy, could get out of jail. What does that tell you about Mike Lindell? What does that tell you about his character? Well, it says a lot, and Mike has been a faithful supporter of this program for several years now. And unfortunately, you're not going to be able to buy his stuff in the box stores, not this Christmas season, because of the cancel culture mob. So Mike is selling directly to you through our radio program, and he has some incredible Christmas discounts for you. And we even have our own page now over at MyPillow.com/Starnes. So MyPillow.com/Starnes, you're going to get the classic MyPillow, normally $70, now only $19.98 with my promo code. And that promo code, by the way, is Starnes. So MyPillow.com/Starnes, use the promo code Starnes. Mike's got over 150 products. You've got the Giza Dream Sheets, the slippers, the bathrobes, the whole nine yards. You got to check out this great stuff. Or you can give them a call at 800-544-8939. That's 800-544-8939. And be sure to use that promo code Starnes.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
We'll be right back. So yesterday, Trump came out and said, hey, look, I'm willing to debate anybody in the national media. All of you national journalism hosts, newspaper editors, I am happy to debate you in public over the steal back in the 2020 presidential election, and put out the all call. He said, I'll debate anybody. Not a single person took the president up on his challenge. Not a one. What does that tell you? Let's go to the phones here. Steve, Central Arkansas. Steve, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I've been philosophizing again, so bear a little patience with me. These COVID vaccines and all the so-called what Captain Science is pushing for the way we should handle COVID is just strictly for our best health and best for society. Let's do a little test on that. I've got a challenge for all those people that are in control of this. If you think the way we're handling this about the mandating vaccines and virtue shaming people into taking them and threatening their jobs, one of the biggest divisions in our society is abortion. Let's use these same tactics against people about taking birth control medications. Let's call birth control pills a birth control vaccine. Let's start shaming and mandating and forcing and doing things to people that don't want a pregnancy right now in their life. Let's start doing the same things to them that we're doing to people right now about taking these experimental COVID vaccines.
Yeah,
show us where your heart is. Show us this is truly about health care and it's not a political tool.
Well, we know it's a political tool. And Steve, I think a good argument could be made that China virus vaccine is, in fact, a form of birth control. I mean, in all honesty, I am very concerned about the long-term impacts of that vaccine on people.
Oh, it's setting up the stage for all kind of control.
Oh, big time.
If they get us adjusted to taking a jab every however many months they decide it is, how far down the road, what all could they control with that?
Well,
you're talking about behavior controls.
That's
true. You're talking about population controls. I mean, we'd be a chemically controlled society.
Well, we already are, Steve. I mean, they've already medicated how many generations of young boys in this country? It's frightening what the pharmaceutical companies have gotten away with here. It really is. Steve, we got to run. I appreciate that. Good philosophizing there from Arkansas. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to Murph, our good friend Murph, Germantown, Tennessee, my hometown, KWAM. Hey, Murph, what's up?
Dr. Starnes, always a pleasure. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Merry Christmas to you and yours and the fabulous Grace Baker.
Thank you.
I have a question for you, please, sir. Yours truly got a letter in the mail this week from Uncle Sam and his cohort at the Department of Social Security, okay? I'm getting a 73-year-old, a 5.9% increase in my Social Security benefits. Number one, I didn't earn that money. And number two, the question remains, where are those dollars coming from? Does this mean I have to put my grandkids and my children into financial dire straits just so I can get another $150, $170 a month?
Well, the answer to that would be yes, but go ahead.
But I want to make sure that you and Grace and all your friends out there and all the people your age keep working so those benefits can keep coming.
Oh, you know that's going to happen, Murph. There will not be retirement for Todd Starnes. I can promise you that.
Yes, sir. And one more question.
Real quick.
Do you think there's any possibility the Democratic Party, the Democratic philosophy is, quote, end quote, buying votes?
Yes. I would say the quick answer is yes, they are. And I'm not sure it's going to work because when anybody goes to the grocery store, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, you see those prices and you realize, holy cow, something's going on here. Merv, I got to run. We've got to take a break for the top of the hour. God bless you and Merry Christmas to you as well. Murph raises a good point. And, yeah, they're going to try to buy votes. I mean, why do you think they're bringing all these illegals across the border by the millions? They want their votes. And they have, look, they're Democrats. They're going to do whatever it takes to stay in power. All right, some interesting numbers. Trump and Latinos, we're going to talk about that. Also, our good friend Tony Perkins, Family Research Council, big, big pro-life abortion case coming up at the Supreme Court. Got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Grace Baker, guess what arrived during the commercial break, during the top of the hour newscast, coast to coast, border to border, across the fruited plain. Guess what was happening here in the news bunker?
What?
Santa must have dropped by because we have loads of candy canes and chocolate candies downstairs.
Oh, sweet. Well, I'm about to go get some chocolate.
Then. Yeah. Well, there may or may not be some left.
Oh, gosh.
Including some delicious cranberry orange bread.
Oh, that, I've had two pieces of that.
Our colleague Claire made for us, a homemade.
It's so good.
You see, this is why it's dangerous hosting a radio show in the Deep South. I'm just telling you.
Everyone knows how to, like, you got producer Kyle and his mac and cheese,
oh,
Claire and her baked goods.
Mm-hmm.
What do I got?
Very tasty. Very tasty.
I can taste test.
So, and you know, we're doing the big company Shindig Christmas bash over at Ruth's Chris.
Mr. Carl Screener will be with me.
Oh, you better. Oh, good. Good. Nothing better than beef in sizzling butter. I'm just going to say. All right. Anyway, so all that to say, there's candy downstairs in the break time. Hope you guys are doing good today. Tomorrow is a major day in this nation. The Supreme Court will hear oral arguments on Mississippi's pro-life legislation. Now, that law limits abortion after 15 weeks, putting it in direct conflict with Roe v. Wade. And Democrats are horrified. As a matter of fact, earlier today, and we've got some audio we're going to play here, Senator Jeanne Shaheen, a Democrat, basically issued a warning to the Supreme Court. Take a listen.
This infringement on women's rights, on our privacy, on the attempt to have state control of our personal health, really is what we would see in an authoritarian state. It's not what we would expect in New Hampshire. I think if you want to see a revolution, go ahead, outlaw Roe v. Wade and see what the response is of the public, particularly young people.
Yeah, so she's threatening a revolution. And then Chuck Schumer, and I want to play this soundbite. We're going to go right to Tony Perkins. This is Chuck Schumer last year on another pro-life piece of legislation.
And they're taking away fundamental rights. I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
Release the Kraken! So, all right, enough of you, Chucky. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Our good friend, the president of Family Research Council, Tony Perkins, joins us. Tony, I know you guys over at FRC have been at the forefront of this movement, hosting a massive prayer gathering on Sunday night in Mississippi. How big of a deal is this for the pro-life movement?
Well, Todd, this is quite significant for the not just the movement, but for the nation. 49 years ago is when they declared abortion legal through all 9 months all across the nation, short-circuiting really the national debate. And as a result, what they said they were going to solve and make it probably one of the most politically hot, divisive issues that we have in our nation today. And so this is an opportunity for the court to get it right, most likely to send it back to the states where we've already had a majority of the states prepare for this in putting in place pro-life law. So this is a critical, very important moment for the nation.
When you hear the words of Senator Jeanne Shaheen, I mean, Tony, that sounded like a threat to me.
Yeah, you know, if that were a Republican, we would be having a November 30th investigation because the calling for revolution, I mean, that is a threat to the court. You see how the Democrats want to threaten the court, because the court for so long has been doing their bidding, and they are extremely upset because of the constitutionalists that were put onto the court by President Trump. No longer doing the bidding of the left nor the right, quite frankly. They're simply calling balls and strikes, as the court should do. So I think this language is supercharged, and I believe that she should be called out for it.
No, I agree. And I mean, going back to last year with Chuck Schumer, it's as if they are trying to influence the court's decision making. I do wonder if the Chief Justice is swayed. We have certainly seen him side with the left more often than not these days. So this will be interesting to see how the conservative, and I don't want to say pro-life majority, but how the conservative wing of the Supreme Court, the majority, will rule in this.
You know, Todd, what we've kind of seen with Clarence Thomas, with the recent confirmations, is that the left has really overreached and shown their true colors, and it's what it's done is solidified the members of the court who had a conservative leaning. I don't think Clarence Thomas would have been as strong as he is had he not faced the wrath of the left during his confirmation.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Tony Perkins, Family Research Council, also the host of the very popular radio program Washington Watch. You know, it's interesting, Senator Shaheen talked about younger Americans, but Tony, a lot of the data we've been looking at shows that a growing number of young Americans, they actually support the pro-life movement.
You're absolutely right. That the polling has shown that trend for some time, where the young people are trending more pro-life than their parents' generation. Now, that's not the same on all the other issues, but on this one issue, it is certainly true. In fact, at our you made reference to the event we did in Mississippi Sunday night, a nationwide prayer event, which we had many, many young people that were a part of that praying for the end of abortion in our nation.
Tony, where do you see all of this heading? I mean, we're going into the midterm elections. Republicans, barring some catastrophic event, are more than likely going to retake the House of Representatives. What do you think the big issues are going to be in your world moving forward?
I do believe that the issue of the sanctity of human life will continue to be an issue, as it has been, where you've got Democrats. And here's the thing that's these things should not surprise us at all, Todd, and you know this. We've talked about it on your program before, but the two political parties, the major parties, Republican and Democrat, have party platforms, which basically lay out their goals and objectives. And the Democrats are doing exactly what their party platform says. They are for unrestrained taxpayer funding of abortion. They want to force every American to pay for it. They're doing that. That's what Joe Biden is doing. The Republicans, on the other hand, have a conservative platform now, although I'm concerned with some of the moves of the RNC, as we've talked about their new Pride coalition. I'm afraid they're going to weaken their party platform and lose a lot of their grassroots support. But I think the life issue, certainly when we look at the infanticide that the Democrats have essentially embraced, that's going to continue. The Born Alive bills, those are going to be issues at the state level. I think that the mandates, the overreach of government, and how we deal with these viruses, I think people are now seeing with this this latest variant, this is going to become a way of life. And how do we want to live through this? Do we want government to tell us we can't interact with family, we've got to be locked down, our businesses have to be shut down, we have to have vaccinations and masks to go out? These are the issues, I think, that are going to be at the forefront of the midterm election.
Well, I have no doubt about the vaccines and the mandates. That is, I think we're heading back into some pretty murky waters, Tony. And look, whoever is calling the shots up at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, they're not stupid enough to implement this during Christmas season. So I think we need to be looking at what's going to happen after Christmas. I think that's when the crackdown's going to come.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, although they're playing the Grinch, they want to be behind the scenes with it. I do think that, but of course, also factoring into this, Todd, is that they're losing the debate over these mandates. And I think they're what they're doing is a delay tactic. They know that eventually they're not going to succeed with these mandates, but they're hoping that the private sector will carry out their plans. And so they're not saying that they're pulling back completely, but in the end, I think they will have to. So this is a delay tactic, hoping that the private businesses, the hospitals, and others will do their bidding for them. And this is in part because American people are pushing back, and I would encourage people to continue to resist the overreaching arm of the federal government.
Well said, well said. Now, Tony, you know, this is, what is it? Is it Giving Tuesday? What do they call today?
It is Giving Tuesday. It's where people have an opportunity to support their nonprofit charities with their giving to ensure that we have a vibrant non-profit sector out there doing so much of the good work, you know, whether it's a ministry that cares for the unborn crisis pregnancy centers, whether it is the homeless shelters or public policy organizations like FRC.
Well, I was that's what I was getting to. People. I was getting to, Tony. I was trying to boost you guys up here for the big sell. Family Research Council. You guys are a nonprofit, and you're one of the best out there, Tony. I mean, you guys do terrific work. And where can people go if they wanna lend a helping hand?
They can simply go to frc.org, and actually we have a generous match that's been put up. So everything that people give up to $100,000 will be doubled. So we certainly appreciate it and welcome the partnership of folks across the country.
Absolutely. All right, folks, frc.org, that is the website. $100,000 matching grant there or gift on the table. And I know that you guys are going to be generous today and help our friends out over at FRC. All right, Tony, we're going to leave it there. I know tomorrow is a big day, and this is a moment for all Americans to pray.
It is. Thank you so much, Todd. Appreciate you, brother.
Tony Perkins, ladies and gentlemen, great man right there. And they are so careful with their funding over at FRC, and it's just amazing the amount of work and the amount of impact they are able to have with such a small budget. But again, there is a gift on the table, $100,000 matching gift, and we would love for you to support those guys. I have to tell you, this is hilarious. So just a few moments ago, President Trump, and we're going to post this on our website, President Trump posted a statement. You know, there's been a lot of hullabaloo between Lauren Boebert and Ilhan Omar, the back and forth. Boebert made a joke back home in the district giving a speech. She made a joke about whether or not it was safe for Ilhan Omar to be in the same elevator, but she wasn't carrying a backpack. So it was a joke, right? It may have been a bad joke, whatever. So it's caused all sorts of chaos, and people are demanding that Boebert be punished. So Boebert called up Omar to apologize, and Omar hung up on her. So now Trump has issued a statement, and he says an apology is in order. But here's who he says needs to apologize. I'm just going to read this. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar should apologize for marrying her brother. It's true, she did. Congressman Omar should apologize for marrying her brother, committing large-scale immigration and election fraud, wishing death to Israel, and for essentially abandoning her former country, which doesn't even have a government. Exactly what she'd like to see for the United States. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why we love Donald John Trump, the 45th president of the United States. He just tells it like it is. And it really is bad form to marry your brother or your sister, no matter where you live in America. I'm not going to name states because we don't want to offend our listeners. Got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. We'll have the statement up on the website. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes. We'll be right back.
So yesterday, President Biden was... Something happened to Biden. So here is the deal. He had all these CEOs, business leaders, up at the up at the White House, and the president was supposed to take part in this this press conference. Then he was going to have a broader press conference later in the afternoon yesterday. That got canceled. Now, and they didn't explain why. It was abruptly canceled. But I suspect I know why. So the president was off. Something was off. You know, you can tell when they're spiking his porridge. He's very clear. He's with it. He knows what he's talking about. That is a very rare thing with this president. So anyway, Biden was giving a speech. And then he just started to ramble, and he looks up at the ceiling, and he's looking up at the ceiling, and we've got the video on our website, by the way, but here's what he said.
Isn't this a pretty place? Yep.
Oh, my God. You got to watch the video. It's just weird. He's literally just staring up at the ceiling, and he's staring and staring, and he says, "Isn't this such a pretty place?
Isn't this a pretty place?" Yep.
And he's just staring. And finally, after what seems like an eternity, he just says, "Yep." So after that is when they pulled the plug on whatever he was going to be doing. I think they clearly knew something was happening with the president. There's no way this guy lasts the 4 years. No way. No way whatsoever. By the way, Biden told Americans earlier in the day, you got to start masking up indoors. Now, before we play this, I want to set the stage for you. Joe Biden was indoors in a public place surrounded by people. And here's what he had to say.
And as additional protections, please wear your mask when you're indoors in public settings around other people.
So the president was delivering this pronouncement indoors in a public place around other people without wearing his mask. And he was completely oblivious. Completely oblivious. So our good friend Peter Doocy over at Fox News asked Jen Circleback's Psaki about this. Cut number 9.
Is there concern that when the president says today, please wear your mask indoors in public settings around other people, and he doesn't do that, that it's going to make it harder to get people to follow him?
I think you see the American people and all of you see the president wearing a mask every time he comes out to an event, when he's sitting in meetings, and certainly he will continue to model behavior he hopes the American people will follow, not for his benefit, but to save their own lives and the lives of their friends and neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Hey, folks, now more than ever, vitally important for us to support companies that share our values. Patriot Mobile, one of those companies, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And they have incredible, broad, nationwide coverage, use the same towers the other guys use, and they have great plans to fit any budget. And by the way, they have incredible discounts for veterans and first responders. They make switching so easy. All you have to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And folks, be sure to use my promo code for that discount, promo code Todd. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today, folks. Hope you're doing well. ToddStearns.com is our website. And, you know, in light of what's happening over at Twitter with the new CEO taking charge and basically declaring a war on free speech, it's a big problem. They're calling the guy Parag Gulag. That's the new CEO taking over for Jack Dorsey. And this is the guy who said that Twitter is not bound by the First Amendment. Also has a problem with all of you Caucasian people out there. And just in the past 24 hours, they've already announced a new rule that would forbid anyone from sharing someone else's personal postings, photos, or videos. In other words, you will not be allowed to post anything about Black Lives Matter protest. That Kyle Rittenhouse video, we would not have been able to share that on Twitter had this rule already been in effect. So my recommendation to you is head right over right now to ToddStearns.com and you sign up for our free newsletter. Also, you have an opportunity to comment and have discussions on our website, but you need to sign up for that newsletter so you can make sure you are getting accurate news and information. And it is the only workaround we have for these censors in big tech. All right, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always great to have with us the great congresswoman from the state of Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Congresswoman, good to have you back with us.
Hi, Todd. It's good to be with you today.
So, look, I appreciate you taking a break from the battles up there on Capitol Hill with your fellow Republicans, Nancy Mace, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I want to get your reaction to the statement President Trump just put out. I'm going to read this to you. Congressman Ilhan Omar should apologize for marrying her brother, for committing large-scale immigration and election fraud, wishing death to Israel, and for essentially abandoning her former country, which doesn't even have a government. Exactly what she'd like to see for the United States. Your reaction to the great Donald John Trump.
Well, Todd, I can tell you I knew that statement was coming because I spoke with President Trump on the phone right before he put it out, and he read me that statement over the phone and asked me what I thought, and I told him, President Trump, you're exactly right. And please put that statement out because Congressman Ilhan Omar is a disgrace to our country. And everything he said is correct about her, and it's what I had also said about her just a few days ago. You know, Lauren Boebert, she made the comments she made, but there was no need for her to apologize. She owes no apology to Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar owes this country an apology, and she owes Israel an apology. And we are sick and tired of putting up with people like Ilhan Omar in Congress. So I'm always grateful to President Trump. You know, he's defending Lauren Boebert and what's happening. And also I had a great conversation with him about Nancy Mace, who he does not like. And he is very much looking forward to endorsing a primary challenger against her.
You know, it's interesting, Marjorie, because we've had Nancy on the show quite a bit. And, you know, she says one thing to the conservative media and then turns around and says something the exact opposite to places like, you know, CNN.
Oh, yeah, of course she does. Nancy Mace, same thing. Nancy Mace can't be real. She can't be truthful. She's not authentic because she's not a truthful person. So it depends on whichever media or whoever she's speaking to is the flavor that she takes. And that's the kind of Republican that we can't tolerate anymore. You know, she goes on CNN and she panders to them and she throws Lauren Boebert and people like me under the bus and completely attacks us so that she can get donations from Democrat donors. But then when she turns around and she's talking to a Christian group or a conservative group, then she takes on a different sound. And she was just on Fox Business with Neil Cavuto attacking me just a few minutes ago, but she also admitted that she's pro-abortion during that statement, which is what I called her out on this morning. She calls herself a conservative, but anybody that's for abortion is not conservative. We need to end abortion in this country. We need to help women be mothers. We need to help women to know that getting pregnant by accident or by rape or by any other reason, it's not a tragedy. It's not a problem. That child is a gift from God. And Nancy Mace is an absolute disgrace. I am tired of Republicans like her. I'm sick and tired of people that will hang on to President Trump just to use him to get elected like Nancy Mace did and then turn around and throw him under the bus. And, you know, as soon as she decides that she can do that, it's wrong. We're fed up with it. We have a lot of problems in our GOP conference, and we need to get people in here that are going to fight for America, fight for our traditional family values, and not be ashamed to stand up for our Christian faith and not have to bow down to people like Ilhan Omar. We need to do the right thing, and that's fight for our country and put our country and our freedoms first, Todd.
And Marjorie, and again, folks, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congresswoman from Georgia. Here's what gets me about this. Again, it was a joke. It was a bad joke. Okay, fine. It was a bad joke. But you don't need to go around apologizing, because that's exactly what the left wants you to do, and they suck you in. And we saw what happened. She hung up on poor Lauren Boebert. She was trying to call to make things right and hung up on her, and it becomes yet another bigger story. It's shameful what's happening, and it really angers me that you have Republicans shooting inside the tent.
Oh, yeah. Here's Lauren. Lauren was taking the steps on her own to make things right, even though she shouldn't have, but she was still doing that. And then Nancy Mace goes out and attacks her and criticizes her. And that's what we've had enough of, and that's why I stood up for Lauren, and that's why I've attacked Nancy Mace, because Nancy Mace has been attacking me since January. She has consistently attacked me on interviews. She has consistently attacked me on her Twitter page. She has attacked me in our conference meetings before, and I'm fed up with her. So when I saw her attacking Lauren Boebert, I called her out just for what she is. She's the trash in the GOP conference, and it's time to take the trash out.
You know, it's interesting, Marjorie. A couple of weeks ago, we had Tony Perkins on the program. He was very concerned about some of the movements being made in the RNC, and the interview went viral. And I get calls at my home from RNC headquarters, and they were very upset. How could you be against the RNC? How could you not have Ronna McDaniel on your program? And I told the person who called flat out, I said, well, look, we've invited her about a half a dozen times. It's not my fault if she refuses to come on this radio program.
Oh, no, it's not your fault at all. As a matter of fact, she probably refused to come because you would ask her the tough questions, Todd, which you should ask her the tough questions. You know, Ronna McDaniel just took the step to create a whole new category of Republicans, the LGBT, whatever, Q Republicans, so that she can suck in more donations and use an identity and make it part of the Republican brand. Well, that has upset a lot of evangelical Christians, a lot of Christians all over the country. There was no need to do that. Log Cabin Republicans had their own group. They raised money for their own cause. And they're, you know, the Republican Party, we don't need to worry about being like the Democrats and creating these identities and then holding them up and using their identities. What we need to do is we need to be about policies for our country and for things that make America so great, the exact principles that our country was founded on. So I'm not surprised at all that Ronna McDaniel did not want to come on your show, because I know you would have asked her about those things.
Well, look, and we're all about winning, and we're about making America great, and the Republicans can't keep screwing this up. You know, they have to deliver on campaign promises, and that is especially true for Republican leadership. We need strong leadership that will stand up and fight these Democrats like Donald Trump showed them how to do.
That's right, and that means stop pandering to the middle. Stop pandering to the left. The Republican Party needs to be conservative. If the Republican Party would be truly conservative, vote conservative, legislate conservatively, then we would bring new voters into our party. We would have new voters vote for us, because there's a lot of conservative Americans who don't even vote because they don't feel like the Republican Party gives them anything to vote for. They're sick and tired of the Uniparty, which is a combination of the Republicans and Democrats, that brought us to the point where we are today, where we're nearly $30 trillion in debt. We've murdered over 62 million people in the womb, which is absolutely evil. And we're on the verge of slipping into communism. We're already a big government country with tons of socialist programs, but we're on the verge of losing into something even more terrible. We need Republicans that will hold the line and fight and protect our conservative values. And that's the only reason why I'm here, Todd. That's why I ran for Congress. And that's why I'm here, to hold our party accountable just as much as I hold Democrats accountable.
All right, good stuff. Marjorie, as always, God bless you. Thanks for fighting the good fight up there on Capitol Hill.
Well, thank you for being so great, Todd, and always telling the great truth to all your listeners, and I know that's why they love you.
All right, Marjorie Taylor Greene, ladies and gentlemen, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Wow, she is fired up. And you know, this cracks me up. I do know there are a lot of establishment Republicans who have a big problem with MTG. But you know what? It's their own fault. They could have put her on committees. They could have fought the Democrats on that, but they did not. So what else does she have to do? She's got all this free time on her hands since she's not on a committee. Put her on a committee. That's all you have to do. President Trump, I've got to share these numbers with you. This is fascinating. There's a new survey out among Latino voters. McLaughlin's got a new poll. Now, in 2016, Trump won 26% of the Latino vote in America. In 2020, he won 34%, almost a 10% increase in voters. So in 2020, he won 34% of Hispanic voters. Now, in the newest poll, Trump has 38% support among Hispanics. So from 2016 until now, you have seen a dramatic increase in the number of in the numbers of Latinos supporting Donald Trump. In a generic ballot, who would you vote for in your district? Republicans win 37% of Hispanic votes, while Democrats win 51%. But what I think is fascinating here, folks, is Trump is outpolling the Republican Party in Hispanic support. This is a very important number. Also, a lot of speculation about who is going to be Trump's running mate. And there's been a lot of talk. There's a list of folks. We understand that Senator Tim Scott, a lot of high-profile Republicans have been making the trip to Mar-a-Lago. And among those that have been visiting, Senator Tim Scott out of South Carolina. Also, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, and I know Kim, and she is a great governor and doing a great job out there in Iowa, very staunchly pro-life, and she has an incredible life story. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds and our very own Senator Marsha Blackburn from here in Tennessee, among those who are now being talked about as possible vice presidents for President Trump. Nikki Haley appears to be out of the running because she criticized the president over the January 6 riots at the Capitol. And also Governor Kristi Noem there's been very little enthusiasm about her as a possible running mate. Mark Meadows has been mentioned as well. And also Rick Grenell, who is a part of this big movement to create the Pride. He's a big part of that Pride coalition is being mentioned also as a possible contender. And also Mike Pompeo. So my question to you as we go to breaker, who do you like? I mean, if Trump runs again, which all indications this guy's running, who do you like for the running mate? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Who do you like as Trump's running mate? We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
You know, it's Christmas when Mannheim Steamroller is playing on what do they call it? The jukebox back in the day? Yeah, they do. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Good to have you with us. And yeah, we're starting to put a little bit of the Christmas music into the rotation. Got to get in the Yuletide spirit. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Dave, Moorhead City, North Carolina, on the talk station. Hi, Dave. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. I called a while back and spoke about my representative down here in the 3rd District, Greg Murphy, and how, you know, he's the guy's just not proactive on stuff. Since then, I've heard him get on other radio stations, and one of the things that I heard was he came out after the infrastructure bill, and he said, oh, yeah, it's a terrible bill, and, you know, he didn't vote for it and everything. What we need our representatives to do, because now people, the worst things get people will get more involved. They needed to be sooner, but now what we need our representatives to do is get ahead of the game. They should have done this long ago, and they need to say, they need to break this stuff down instead of doing the Pelosi, let's vote for it so we can see what's in it. And they need to say, we're taking these benefits away from people, and we're rewarding the illegals with it. If there's $1 of anything that goes to rewarding illegals, why is $1 of it being passed? And that's, it was, there was probably 10% of the infrastructure bill rewarding illegals, and there's a whole bunch in this social spending bill that rewards illegals. Now, if you take something like daycare, which was important, and I have no problem helping people with daycare if we can do that, but then I heard a breakdown the other day that my representative has said nothing about, where they're going to put requirements on daycare centers. The people that work there are going to have upgraded educational requirements and all, you know, so daycare, they're going to subsidize it, but it's going to cost three times more, and it's going to be more difficult to get. So they're not only creating the problem, they're compounding the problem, and our representatives are saying nothing about it. They need to get ahead of the game, and they need to say, this is what's in the bill. If we're taking $1 away from veterans to reward illegals, that's upside down wrong. But if we're taking money that we promise is going to be for daycare or for medical or whatever, and we see this, we see it right now, Hurricane Florence money down here. There's money down here on the coast, people struggling.
Well, look,
who have lost everything.
Yeah, Dave, let me jump in here. Look, I'm with you. Any dollar that is sent to an illegal alien is a dollar that's not being used for the American taxpayers. I got a problem with that. I've got a problem with any money, a single penny, going to take care of illegal aliens. Got a big problem with that. But the reality is, and we had a previous caller who I think really nailed this, that this is about paying off voters. Murph from Germantown, that was the guy. Murph says, hey, look, is it possible that the Democrats are buying votes? And that's exactly what they're doing, Dave, every single time they give money to one of those illegals. Dave, got to run. We are up against a hard break for the top of the hour news. Folks, so we just got an urgent email from Congresswoman Nancy Mace, and she heard what Marjorie Taylor Greene said on this radio program just a few moments ago, and she wants to come on the program. So we are going to have Nancy Mace on the program in the next hour. Also, Senator Ron Johnson weighing in on what's happening in Wisconsin, and also Curtis Houck, who is managing editor of Newsbusters. Man, this is going to be a rocking hour coming up. Stick around, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks. So, wow, buckle up for a wild hour of conversation on the radio. Great to have you with us. Border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain, now broadcasting on 115 radio stations. And we've got a lot going on this hour, so let's get right to it. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. An honor to have with us the Republican senator from Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, hope you're doing well today.
Well, Todd, I hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you very much, Senator. And let's just jump right into this. I know that you and Senator Baldwin, your Democrat colleague and fellow citizen of Wisconsin, put out a joint letter. What was the purpose of that letter? And were you surprised by the reaction people had to it?
I have been. It's definitely been misconstrued. But let me just explain this. This was in reaction to a request that I had from people I had met to and spoken with in Waukesha who were, you know, hearing and seeing that there were potentially outside groups from the more radical fringe of both the right and the left that they were concerned would, you know, come into Waukesha and, you know, create trouble, potentially resulting in violence. And so they asked me I could do something to help, and I offered, well, I could issue a release, reach out to Senator Baldwin to see whether or not she'd join this. So on a bipartisan basis, we would just ask people, please, Waukesha has enough to deal with. The people responded, the horrors that they saw, they're trying to heal their community. The last thing they need is, you know, protests possibly resulting in riots. Because let's face it, Kenosha is still on our minds here in Wisconsin. So it was only in reaction to trying to prevent something like that from happening. Yeah, I'm fully aware of the fact that the murders, and they were murders, it wasn't a murder committed by a car. There was a driver of that car. I realize there are very definite political components to the story. I was out on national media talking about the fact that this is a tragedy that should not have happened if it were not for the no bail and low bail policies of the political left. So, yeah, there's definitely a political element. I'm not saying don't politicize this. What we are saying is please don't come into Waukesha and agitate, stir up trouble that might result in violence. The community has enough to deal with. If you're concerned about Waukesha right now, offer prayers for healing both of body and spirit. If you really want to help out, there's a fund set up by the Community Foundation that will also accept your financial help. So, no, I was surprised by people on the right that started attacking that bipartisan statement. And Todd, I just have to be...
In fairness, I was one of those, Senator. I was one of those people, Senator.
So, again, one of the things that the left is good at, they're actually unified. You know, they don't eat their own. We tend to do that. We tend to leap to conclusions. Frequently, we've been pretty disappointed by members of our side. There's no doubt about that. But in this case, I hope people realize that is a life-changing experience. When you go down, for example, to the Interfaith Prayer Vigil and you're talking to people who experienced it, so a grown man who I just said, you know, did you know anybody? And the grown man starts sobbing. Okay, that obviously what happened in Waukesha changed people forever. Little children that were sitting on the curb expecting to see Santa Claus and the dancing grannies instead saw a slaughter. They will never be healed from that psychological problem. So all I was trying to do was respond to a request by people in Waukesha who just wanted to carry on with the healing process and their very difficult responsibilities ahead. Again, I'm fully aware there's a huge political component to this, and we should be talking about it. I mean, again, I was on, I think, Fox and Friends like the day or 2 days after saying this never should have happened were it not for the low bail and no bail policies.
But Senator, I think
the political left has a lot to account for, as does, by the way, the media.
Well, let me ask you about that, Senator. Let me ask you about that. Because why do you think the media is not there? I mean, if this had been a white guy driving a pickup truck with a MAGA bumper sticker, I think you and I both know that there would still be news anchors broadcasting their programs from Waukesha right now. And that is simply not the case. Why do you think the media is not there broadcasting with such ferocity?
Well, you know why it's not.
Because no, sir, I'm asking you, why do you think that is?
No, it's because the mainstream media and the social media are populated by the radical left. I mean, we don't have an unbiased mainstream media. We have a highly biased, and they're from the left. They're no longer journalists. They're advocates. So they don't interview me. They argue with me when I go on, like, Meet the Press with Chuck Todd. It's not an interview. It doesn't even give me time to complete a sentence. So, no, I mean, this is unfortunately the reality we deal with. We do not have a unbiased media. And it's also exacerbating the problem. And so when you say, who lit this fire? I blame the media to a great extent. If we had a mainstream media that was largely in the center, where everybody could go to the mainstream media and go, that's pretty fair coverage. I mean, that's the truth. But we don't have that. We've got the bulk of our media comes from the left. Then you've got, you know, obviously we still have a free media, we still have a free press, so you have outlets on the right. But it's a very, you know, in total, it ends up being very polarizing, and it's very dangerous for our democracy. But again, I primarily blame the media and the social media for exacerbating the problem. I mean, take a look at the way they handled the summer riots, 570-plus of those things. Want to sweep those under the rug and only concentrate on January 6th. I'm fully anticipating being attacked by the left. They get attacked all the time. They lie about what I say. They, you know, false narratives about it. They distort it. I'm well aware of the bias in the media, as are you.
And well, yeah, of course. And Senator, again, we're not just monolithic here. And, you know, when we see something we disagree with, I disagree with, you know, I talk about it. It doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat. And I give you great credit. And it says a lot about you for coming on the radio program so we can have that discussion and so that you can get your thoughts out there. Because, again, I think the most important thing is for us to talk about this. The idea that you've got an 8-year-old little boy wearing his Little League uniform and his older brother, the little boy killed, his brother was in the hospital, that mom and dad, you know, having Thanksgiving in the hospital, so many other people. Those stories need to be told, and we need to have that conversation. But it troubles me that the mainstream media just turns a blind eye to what happened in that town.
Well, it troubles me, but it's also troubling me that the officials that had to deal with that were administering care to the injured, that had to pick the dead bodies off the road. Those same people reached out to me and said, can you help prevent more problems? Okay, and that's all I was doing.
Are you hearing reports? I'm glad I did it.
I don't regret issuing that statement. I don't regret reaching out to Tammy Baldwin, and I appreciate the fact that she signed on right away. Because, by the way, it was a concern that groups from both sides. This wasn't just one side versus. This was both sides.
All right, we know who the left side is. Who's on the right? Who's on the right side? Are you hearing? I mean, can you name the groups?
No, I don't want to. I don't want to name the individuals I talked to. I don't want to name the potential groups. That's why, again, we did it non-specific, but just kind of throwing it out there. Please have some compassion for those individuals that witnessed that had to take care of the situation, that had to be the first responders and now have to heal the community. Just please consider them before you descend on Waukesha and create trouble. That's really all that release was about. Maybe I should have written it that way, but you know, you're right the way you're right. Trust me, I did not anticipate criticism, certainly not from people that I think generally would support what I've done, whether it's the Hunter Biden investigation or the investigation, the corrupt FBI investigation, or my defense of the peaceful protesters on January 6th.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's questioning your conservative credentials, Senator. I just don't. I mean, you've got a good track record, which is why it was just surprising to a lot of folks. Real quick, about 30 seconds here, Senator. Would you categorize this as a domestic terrorist attack? What happened there?
Well, you know, what I would say is we definitely need to know the motivation of the driver. And, you know, we need to give that individual due process, but that needs to be made public. No, nothing should be hidden here. So, again, I'm less concerned. You know, I'm not that nuts about hate crime legislation. I mean, when you murder somebody, it's hate.
Same here.
Okay, so I'm less concerned about that. But listen, Todd, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and explain.
You got it.
Well, I hope people understand, and I hope they support what I tried to do there.
Senator, we're going to leave it there. I think you got your point across. And again, we appreciate you. It says a lot about your character coming on the program, and we greatly appreciate that. Thank you again.
Well, take care. Stay well.
All right. That's Senator Ron Johnson right there, folks. And explaining the letter that he sent out and he co-signed with Senator Tammy Baldwin on Waukesha. And again, I just believe that we have to talk about these stories, and it is, I think, the media bears responsibility. As the senator said, they need to explain why Waukesha is not a national news story. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
right, folks. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And if nothing else, this program has become a platform where people come and they make news and the newsmakers want to respond to that news. And in the last hour, we had Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene on the program and had some things to say about Congresswoman Nancy Mace from South Carolina.
She has attacked me in our conference meetings before, and I'm fed up with her. So when I saw her attacking Lauren Boebert, I called her out just for what she is. She's the trash in the GOP conference, and it's time to take the trash out.
Now, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we have with us from South Carolina, Congresswoman Nancy Mace. Congresswoman, I appreciate you coming on. I know you wanted to respond to what Congresswoman Greene had to say a few moments ago.
Of course. I heard Marjorie Taylor Greene was on your program spewing lies again. This is someone who believes that 9/11 was a hoax. This is someone who lies about other members, other Republicans in her conference. I didn't even vote to strip Marjorie of her committee assignments because I am a constitutional conservative. But I'm also not going to put up with liars. She went out today, attacked me for no reason, right? When Congresswoman Boebert made her comments, I always condemn racism and bigotry, whether you're Republican or Democrat. That is nothing new. That is part of who I am. But I also praised her because Congresswoman Boebert acknowledged it. She apologized for it. And that's the first in a long time to have someone take responsibility for their words and apologize. That takes a big person. But then, you know, Congresswoman Greene had to go out and spew lies about my record, telling people I'm pro-choice and pro-abortion, which is nothing could be further from the truth. And I'm not going to be bullied. I'm not a doormat. I'm not a shrinking violet. And I'm not going to allow anyone to lie about my record, including a Republican who just can't even tell the truth. I have always voted to defund Planned Parenthood every chance I've gotten. I voted for South Carolina's fetal heartbeat bill. I've co-sponsored pro-life legislation. I do want protections for women who've been raped or victims of incest because I myself am a victim of rape. I was raped when I was 16. I dropped out of school. I turned to drugs and alcohol. It was a devastating experience on my life. And being attacked the way I've been attacked by Marjorie Taylor Greene because of this is one of the many reasons women who are victims of rape don't come forward and talk about it. And it's past time that we support people and Republicans who are willing to stand up and fight back and push back against the lies. And I'm one of them. This is utterly ridiculous. It's unforgivable. And she should not be allowed to continue to spew lies about other Republicans. I'm just not going to tolerate it. I'm not afraid of her, and I'm not going to let her continue to do it. She's not going to bully me or anybody else in my conference.
Yeah, I want to go back to this, what Lauren Boebert said, this joke she cracked at the gathering in her congressional district. You said something very similar to that back in July. The New York Times reported on it, referring to what you called the Hamas squad. Do you regret using that kind of language?
No, I don't. I mean, we have, you know, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. I've called her out on her anti-Semitic remarks. I've called her out for their votes that hurt Israel. These are things that I feel very strongly about, but I also am not going to tolerate religious bigotry or racism. And, you know, that's what Congresswoman Boebert said last week. And those things are inappropriate, especially when you, Todd, when you talk to immigrants that are coming to this country, many times when I've met people, they're coming from countries that are socialist or that have communism, that have human rights atrocities. And when you talk to these people, many of them are conservative. And we're turning our backs on people that have something to say. And you can talk to our Cuban American Republicans in our conference. They'll tell you about why this is. And it's important that we don't shut down those voices because we told some racist or bigoted joke. That's not okay. And I've been equal opportunity calling out Maxine Waters when she tried to incite violence at different protests and riots. I've called out Ilhan Omar for anti-Semitism. I've called out AOC when she told lies about January 6th. These are things that we shouldn't tolerate anybody in this body.
What's going on here?
Or Democrat.
What's going on here in the Republican Party? It sounds like there's quite a bit of turmoil.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, for a while, you know, we've had our moments, and then we'll come together, and we'll have our moments again, and we'll come together. But, you know, I have done so much to defend our country. I just came back from a trip to Taiwan where you had the Chinese communist government telling us and demanding we cancel the trip. We went anyway. I have passed legislation to help Gold Star families and military families. I took Thanksgiving away from my family to spend it with troops who weren't able to come home for Thanksgiving. I have worked on legislation and passed legislation out of the House of Representatives ensuring and protecting our national security when it comes to cybersecurity. I am working my ass off. And I think it's ridiculous when you have these people who are grifting off of vulnerable Republicans, off of vulnerable conservatives, telling them lies and attacking other conservatives within our party, when there are many of us who are working our tails off to deliver results for the American people, who put our country first and its people first. And then you have these grifters over here that just say crazy things to raise money off of vulnerable conservatives. And it's quite frankly wrong. And it puts people's lives in danger in some cases. And so I just think it's ridiculous, and I'm not going to tolerate it. And I'm not going to put up with it, just like I don't from Democrats. I'm not going to put up with it from Republicans either.
We've got about 30 seconds here, Congresswoman. Mm-hmm. Is the relationship repairable? Is there any way to fix all of this between you and Boebert and Marjorie?
Look, when I condemn Boebert's remarks, I also praise her for acknowledging it and apologizing. That is a step in the right direction. That is the first time anyone in recent history in Congress has acknowledged their statement was wrong and apologized for it. And so, I don't think there should be any bad blood there. But what Green is doing is tearing apart our party, and it is tearing apart the United States of America. I'm a single mom with two kids. I'm going to protect my kids. I'm going to protect my country, no matter what the cost. I'm not going to allow her to send our country in the drain and divide it the way she's doing today.
All right,
Marjorie. Happen on my watch.
Marjorie, we're up against literally a hard break. The
Thank
computer's
going
to cut us off, but we appreciate you coming on the program and responding to that. Congresswoman Nancy Mace, South Carolina, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Clearly, this has got to get fixed, and we need to get everybody in a room, and I don't know. You know what, Grace? Maybe we can get MTG and Mace on the show together at the same time, and we can work all of this out.
I don't think you'd be able to do much talking,
Todd. Might get Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
get Dr.
Maybe.
Phil on the line. That's, wow. All right. Jeez-a-loo. I thought this was going to be a slow day. All right, folks, got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Look, this war between Nancy Mace and MTG. So here's where I stand on all of this. It seems to me that the people that matter the most are the people who put these women in office. So specifically for MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the people that matter, and the only people that matter, are the people of the 14th Congressional District. Now, there may be people up at RNC headquarters that hate her guts. And you know what? That's their right. They can hate her guts. But what are they telling the good people of the 14th Congressional District if they get rid of MTG or they sideline her? I mean, what message is that sending to Republicans anywhere? That if, fine, you're not one of the so-called elites of the RNC, you know, they're going to look down on you and they're just going to sideline you. It's that kind of mentality that loses elections for the Republicans. You know, they claim they want to be about this big, broad tent. Well, you know what? I guarantee you, Marjorie Taylor Greene does not agree with everything Ronna McDaniel is doing, and vice versa. And it seems to me we should have a Republican Party that is strong enough to withstand differing opinions on things. It just seems to me. But maybe that's not the case. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868, Gainesville, Georgia. Jerry Lynn on WDUN. Hey, Jerry Lynn, what's going on?
Hey, my sweet Todd. Todd, I'm sorry I keep calling in, but I just listen to you every day and love you. But I am fuming right now. I've got flames coming out the top of my head. That Nancy Mace, she's the problem, Todd, with the Republican Party. As far as I'm concerned, for Marjorie Taylor Greene separating the Republican Party, no, it's people like Mitt Romney's niece, Ronna McDaniel, that keeps, she needs to have the all-you-can-eat buffets, Todd, and stop eating up all the profits that she's taking in for the Republican Party. And I say we start with putting Kevin McCarthy out and replacing him with Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's my girl. And Mace, you got to go. She ain't nothing but a rhino, honey.
So, Jerry Lynn, and again, I do not disagree with you. I mean, Congresswoman Mace has sort of been all over the place. She goes on Fox, and we didn't have time to talk about this, but there are some headlines earlier today. She goes on Fox to promote the vaccines, she's against the vaccine, and then she's for the vaccine on CNN. And, you know, that confuses a lot of people. They want to know, okay, where do you stand on the issues? I still, in spite of that, Jerry Lynn, if I just want Republicans that will agree on the party platform. And if you can do that, I don't care where you stand on everything else. But we got to fight these Democrats, and we've got to know where people stand on the issues.
Amen, Todd, 100%. That's why I listen to you every day, because you are literally one of the last truth people out here that literally stand up for us little people, Todd, that our hands are tied. But I'm telling you, Todd, you nailed it exactly right. But Mace, she needs to go. She needs to go, honey. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is, let me tell you, Todd, I lived in her district up there in Rome. I love that girl. And she is absolutely sticking up for us that are conservative. And that Mace, she's all over the place. She's not for abortion. She's for abortion. She's not for the vaccine. She's for the vaccine. She's a disgrace to this country is what she is.
And Jerry Lynn, and again, we want to be fair on this program. And she says that she believes that a woman who has been raped, or if there's incest involved, that, you know, the woman should have a right. I don't think that makes someone pro-abortion. There will be many people who disagree with me on that. But I mean, if in fact what she told us was true, and I don't have a record on Planned Parenthood, but if she was one of those voting to, you know, defund Planned Parenthood, look, I respect that. But again, if we're going to go after somebody, we need to make sure we're armed with the facts. And that's an important thing. But this is a mess, Jerry Lynn, and they've got to get this cleaned up. And there needs to be some sort of a come to Jesus meeting. And if our radio program can be that platform, we are happy to provide the platform.
Todd, you are that platform. I'm telling you, all my friends and family, we all listen to you every day. And I'm telling you, Todd, thank God for real patriots like you. Because what Mace needs to do is she needs to go hook up with Ronna McDaniel, honey, and get them an all-you-can-eat buffet ticket. That's what those two need to do.
All right, Jerry Lynn, God bless you.
I love you, Todd. Stars.
All right, take care now. What a great lady. She's a great American patriot. And I love WDU, and they've got some great characters that listen to that radio program and that radio station. And we love all of our listeners, though. Let's go to Brian, listening to us on The Talk Station, another great radio station, North Carolina. Brian, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, good to talk with you today. I just wanted to make comment. There's the program today has really pointed out a lot of difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party about the Democratic Party not calling each other out in public, not having public disputes and things like that, and the Republican Party seeming to certainly be more willing to do that. And that boils down to one major thing, and that is that the Democratic Party, their focus is on pushing forward their ideology, and they'll make any deal and do anything to see that that happens. The Republican Party believes in the system itself, and that means that there needs to be debate and looking for truth instead of ideology. You tend to need to call people out sometimes. And so I think that is a real major difference in the reason the two parties function so differently.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Brian. And when we had Senator Johnson on, we were talking about Senator Johnson. I had posted a tweet calling him out on that letter saying we need to stop talking about what's happening in Waukesha. And within a matter of moments, we had a message from their team saying, hey, can we get the senator on to respond? And I'm like, sure, absolutely. We would love to have you on. So we came on the program, and if you heard what he was a little upset that we criticized him, and he defended that by saying the Democrats never do that. And that's the whole point, is that the Republicans, we value differences of opinion on things.
Exactly. And we value truth. And the truth is something that sometimes you just have to pull it all out and say, what is the real truth in all of this? And so it has to be a public debate. Now, that doesn't mean we call each other names, and there's no reason for that kind of thing. But we do need to have the public debate, and we don't hear that from the Democrats, because they do everything behind closed doors and make their deals and do the whole swamp thing behind closed doors.
Yeah, no, look, it's a great, great point you raised, Brian. Appreciate you calling in, and thanks for listening. Give us a holler back one of these days. My goodness, Grace, we really stirred up a stink today.
And it's only Tuesday.
Oh, geez, Aloo. All right. We may have to pace ourselves.
Gosh. Oh, I know we're blowing it all at the beginning of the week.
No. It's the week after Thanksgiving. That's so you're trying to get back into the groove here. So we've just had to jump right into it. All right. We've got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. Who do you stand with? Nancy Mace? Do you stand with Marjorie Taylor Greene? Do you stand with nobody? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, folks, if you missed the big cage match between Marjorie Taylor Greene and Nancy Mace, you'll be able to listen to that on our podcast. Just go to toddstarnes.com, and you'll be able to download all 3 hours of the program. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Man, you talk about websites that I have bookmarked. Newsbusters is one of those. They do, I don't know how they do it, but they do an incredible job. And on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now is the managing editor for Newsbusters, Curtis Houck. Curtis, good to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. We've been talking a lot about this, the media coverage of the Christmas parade there in Wisconsin. And Curtis, I know that you guys were not surprised that the media took a hard left turn after that.
Yeah, no, I think it became very clear within the first couple of days that they were going to drop off, even though it was a holiday. Really, Todd, this can be boiled down to a sad narrative and trait that we usually play that we see from the liberal media time and again, which is they decide that certain news stories need to be localized. It's a local news story, so therefore we're not going to cover it. They did this with Loudoun County until they couldn't ignore it. They did this with Kermit Gosnell, to go back a little ways. They did that, just kind of dismissing it as a local news story, suggesting there really wasn't anything in it for them or any of the narratives that they need to push. And so with Waukesha, that's what we're seeing here. It's been kind of it's been memory-holed out of existence, ignoring the motivations of the person driving the vehicle, making it all about vehicular ramming, you know, about runaway trucks.
The car did.
And they have talked about it, like USA Today on Thanksgiving morning, talking about vehicular ramming, blaming it on people being scared of George Floyd in BLM protests. So they, you know, we conservatives have to get upset about that, and we get in our cars and we ram people, which is not at all what happened here, but I digress.
No, it's a fair point you raise, and you guys do great work at Newsbusters exposing the mainstream media hypocrisy and the bias that is prevalent in today's news world.
Yeah, and we did a piece that we have up on Newsbusters right now. The media stopped talking about Daryl Brooks because he's black and his victims were mostly white. We looked at our cable coverage to provide people some numbers. Today was the first time anyone on MSNBC mentioned Brooks by name since last Wednesday. And it was just 34 seconds that ran in a news brief on their 5 a.m. show way too early and then on Morning Joe. They're just going to ignore the fact that the suspect here is a felon who's expressed hatred for white and Jewish people, or he swerved his vehicle so that he would hit as many pedestrians as possible. That doesn't really matter to any of these people. Peter Ducey of Fox asked Jen Psaki about it yesterday. Why is Joe Biden not going there? And Jen Psaki says, well, you know, it takes a lot of resources to get a president there, and we don't want to divert attention away, but our hearts go out to them. But we're not going to mention prayers because prayers are banned, I guess, on the left. You can't say that you're praying for someone because I guess that's a cop-out. We can't do that. Which, of course, as we know, anytime anything happened bad, under Donald Trump, whether it was a school shooting or a hurricane or flooding, they had to tie it to Trump. Like it was somehow Donald Trump's fault, A, and B, if a Trump official offered that answer that we want to give space for local officials to do their jobs, the media would suggest that President Trump doesn't care.
Right. But in this particular instance, and by the way, Curtis Houtka, folks from Newsbusters on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Curtis, in this instance, I mean, there is no crime scene. I mean, there's really nothing that would, you know, unless, you know, there are people in the hospital, but there are plenty of victims that Biden could visit with. The fact that you've got children still hospitalized in very bad condition, I think the average TV viewer out there is scratching their head and going, what the heck is going on here?
Right. I mean, it's just a horrible situation. And it's the kind of thing that you would all fear. Parades, holiday, you know, Christmas parade in small town America. I mean, it's hard to get any more vicious than that in terms of a thing at this time of the year, short of attacking, you know, a shopping mall. But we've seen this in Europe. In Germany, we saw a Christmas market attack with his radical Islamic jihadists, I believe last year or the year before. This is a thing that's been going on, and they don't really seem to care about that. CNN is framing it in terms of, you know, a car, an attack by a car doing this. But again, it just goes to show the priorities for people in these folks in the liberal media. They would much rather talk about January 6th or really anything other than this.
No, you're absolutely right, Curtis. And that's why I'm so glad you guys are out there at Newsbusters covering these kinds of stories. And we appreciate you being flexible with the time, with the craziness coming out of Washington today.
Anytime, Todd. Yeah, it's just, anytime, newsbusters.org.
All right. And Curtis, where can folks follow you on Twitter?
I'm at Curtis Houck. I primarily watch Jen Psaki and Joy Reid, so you don't have to.
That makes you a great American patriot in our books. All right, Curtis, God bless, and Merry Christmas to all you guys over there at Newsbusters.
Merry Christmas, Todd. Thank you.
All right. Good guy right there, folks. Seriously, you should bookmark Newsbusters. They do a terrific job monitoring the mainstream media so you don't have to, and that is a great thing. Hey, I want to bring you a little bit of breaking news. This coming out of the Detroit area. This is the headline. There has been a school shooting, Oxford High School there in Michigan. Multiple victims. That's the reporting. A shooter with a handgun at the high school there. They're telling us there were multiple victims, as many as six. The good news, at least according to the early reporting from the Sheriff's Department, there were no fatalities. The undersheriff, Mike McCabe, delivered a brief statement on Twitter saying that at this time it is an active scene. We have multiple patrol units, EMS units, along with SWAT and their aviation team. 911 calls are still coming in. The breaking news is there has been a school shooting with victims, with injuries, at Oxford High School. This is in Oakland County, Michigan. And the reporting we are monitoring from the Detroit Free Press, and we will keep you updated on that. We're going to have some stories going up on ToddStarnes.com here in just a matter of moments. All right, look, it's been a crazy show today. But again, it just shows you, yeah, we're not one of the big guys. And you know who the big guys are. We're not. We are a show that most of Washington listens to. And we're honored by that. Now, look, I told you early on when we launched this program that I'm not going to agree with everything the Republicans do. I can tell you I don't agree with anything the Democrats do. But every now and again, I'm going to have a disagreement with the Republican. That doesn't mean we hate Republicans. It doesn't mean we hate the Republican lawmaker. It means we have a difference of opinion. And on this radio program, you're not going to hear me spewing party lines. You will hear that on other talk radio programs. And you know what? That's their deal. More power to them. But I believe we owe it to you to give you my opinion. And you may not agree with that. And that's why we invite you to call in. You know, a lot of other shows out there in talk radio world, they don't want people to call in. But we invite that. We encourage that. If, as a matter of fact, your calls go right to the top of the list. So anyway, we're going to do this all over again tomorrow. We'll see who we can hack off. It's going to be fun. And we may even give away a few prizes tomorrow. I'm kind of in the mood. All right, folks, again, ToddStarnes.com. Newsletter coming out in just a matter of moments, as is the podcast. Be good, America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.